So, who enjoyed a drama and crazy week 15? And who's ready for week 16 and some holiday magic here on Low Road Friends Inside the NFL starting right now? And we have a Christmas Day pick for you coming up on our show today. Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Welcome to Low Road Friends Inside the NFL on this fine Christmas Eve, wherever you may be. Ben, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. And let's get started with our show.
Well, hello, Loro. I'd like to wish you yourself a Merry Christmas and happy holidays and New Year coming up. It's been a wild, crazy year this year, but I know this is one of my favorite holidays to celebrate just being time with the family, and it's always a great time. But it's gonna be nice to talk some football with you, and it'll be awesome to see some football on a Christmas Day, which usually never happens. I always enjoy the NBA, and I will this year as well. But there's going to be a lot of football this weekend and a lot of big games as we're coming to almost the end of the regular season and getting ready for the playoffs coming out of January.
Absolutely, so. Ben. And also, it's also a good time to be a Boston sports fan, because the Boston Celtics last night, Ben, you must be happy that they are 1-0 in the new season. Jason Tatum with the game-winning bank shot. As you may know, you might have watched that game, and normally football does not happen on Christmas Day, as you all know that.
Yeah, last night's game was pretty wild. It was definitely I would say we were pretty fortunate to win, but I thought that, Tatum and Brown really rose up to the challenge. And I know it was preseason, but both of them kind of looked a little shaky, and I was kind of, concerned that they would get a little cold to start the year. And, the first couple quarters early on last night, they were kind of off. But once they started to hit their stride and make a couple of shots, they were rolling, and it was great to see. I wish that they can hold on to some leads, another double-digit lead, which I was accustomed to watching against the Heat in the playoffs last year. So, obviously, it's the first game. We got to clean some things up. But it's great to see the win and the heroic. What a crazy shot by Tatum at the end. But, Brown really set the tone a lot of the night. And Jeff Teague has been a great – I think he's going to be a great guy off the bench for this team. So, Kyrie's coming into the building tomorrow with Kevin Durant. It's going to be another great team that's coming in. And, but it's good to get a win against a really good team in Milwaukee, which we always usually struggle with, and, of course, with Giannis. So, a win's a win, and I'll take it and move on.
Absolutely. So basically what I was saying, I was a little off topic, because normally we don't see football on Christmas Day, but there's a lot of basketball going on as well. So anyways, the Lakers have a game tomorrow against the Clippers. Looking forward to that. But let's start with on game recaps from week 15. Let's start with the Dolphins losing to the Patriots. The Dolphins defeating the Patriots 22-12. So I apologize. I almost said the Patriots beating the Dolphins in Miami, but the Dolphins beat the Patriots as both teams for a third year in a row. Both teams have split a season series.
Yeah, before the season started, I had a feeling that this probably would be a loss on the schedule. It's always hard to play in Miami with this Patriots team ever since Brady was there. And always usually when the Miami played, kind of towards November, December against the Patriots, they always just seem to get this Patriots team fits. That's why I thought last year when they blew them out, play them earlier on, maybe it could change something, which it did. It was a 43-0 shutout that the Pats had. But usually, the game's been close, and this was another game with this Patriots team where it kind of just defined the season. Just coming up a little bit short and not converting on enough opportunities and not enough execution in this game. I thought, Tua didn't even throw a touchdown pass. I was definitely expecting he would. But the Dolphins were down a couple offensive weapons. Devontae Parker, who's been extremely good against the Pats in past years. And then Jakeem Grant, who's another good weapon that they use, especially in special teams, and his speed for sure. So, this was another game that the Dolphins used, the running game to their advantage. And that's a weakness that the Patriots have been struggling with a lot of this year is outside zone reads and rushing. Their defense, just their rushing defense has been poor. I would give Cam Newton on the day probably a C, C plus. Good news, he didn't turn the ball over, but he didn't get another touchdown through the air. I think that we kind of have to see the fact is, like, who knows what his future is going to be like. There's only a couple more games left. It's clear to show now that Bill wants to stay with the ride with Newton the rest of the way. And, we'll have to see if they're going to give Stidham some time, which I wish they could, because I think, they really, after Brady left, even regardless of, them bringing Cam in or not, I just don't think that they really have a plan. And I think that this off season, they really have to address in terms of the fact of what they want to do at that most important position, and they also have to focus on a lot of other positions where they can get better in. So, this game, for sure, Miami made a lot more plays than we did, and they deserve it, and they got a chance to be right there in the
playoffs. Yeah, so we'll talk about the Patriots-Bills game in just a minute, as both teams will be playing on Monday Night Football. As you know, we'll talk about that series in just a minute. So let's talk about Let's stay in the AFC East and talk about an embarrassing loss for the Rams, 23-22, a team that I hate as you hate the most as a Patriots fan, is the New York Jets defeating the Rams 23-20, and they got their first win of the year, and it looks like the Jets have pretty much gotten out of themselves of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes.
Well, It's really hard to kind of hate on the Jets at this point because just how poor they've been the past years. But, just growing up as a Pats fan, just those really close games, the rivalries, I'd still consider it a really good rivalry. I just can't stand the Jets. But I do think that, the Jets, in order for them to, potentially, get better, is they need to get a quarterback. I think Darnold has potential, but I think that he has to go to a place where they have a good coach, because Adam Gase is just definitely not the answer there, and he's definitely going to be, if not fired the day after the Super Bowl is over, right around it. A coach that actually would be an interesting name, who I saw that just interviewed for a head coaching job at Houston. And I know we're kind of going a little off topic here, but Marvin Lewis could be a name. I would not run out of the possibility for the Jets to have. And it's because that Lewis has been in an organization in Cincy where they haven't had a lot of success there, but they've kind of been, you know, in the middle of the pack, you know, to kind of more of, you know, below the middle of the pack. But they've had their moments here and there with Marvin Lewis in his coaching career. But, I mean, for sure he'd be an upgrade over Gase. But now going to in terms of the game, I was shocked to see that happen. You know, the pack, it's very 2020 when the Patriots lose 24-3 to the Rams, but the Jets, a winless team, defeats the Rams. I mean, any week, anything could happen. And, you know, I know we were going to recap that Steelers-Bengals game, but the Bengals were able to win with a third-string quarterback, a two-win Bengal team against that Steelers team, who was extra motivated after a couple tough losses. I mean, I didn't see that coming either. So, I think the Jets definitely were able to get that win, but, you know, their fans are pissed because they might lose out on Lawrence. So, you know, let me ask you this. And I actually do think I told you that I think the Jets would get one, at least a win this year. I know that me and you kind of went back and forth in terms of the fact, but it's really hard to go winless in the regular season no matter how poor you can be. It's just really, really hard because even the good teams will have their, you know, off games. You know, there's always a saying playing down at your competition. You know, that's cliche here and there, but I don't know. Maybe the Rams just didn't make enough plays and the Jets made a couple more. And I did watch some of the game, but I got to give props to the Jets to win. But, of course, a lot of their fans are pissed because it might hurt them for the
future. It might not hurt them for the future because the thing is, whoever the new head coach is for the Jets won't give up on Darnold right away. He's going to want to help give Sam Darnold the proper supporting cast. Like, I sent everybody this link here. The Jets would get Penny Sewell from Oregon, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, because the Jets need offensive line help to kind of keep Sam Darnold upright. I still believe that whoever the new head coach of the Jets is not going to give up on Sam Darnold, despite the Jets beating the Rams this past Sunday.
Yeah, and I think it was a couple weeks ago, you know, they asked Sam Darnold about, I would say, like, his future with the Jets, but, like, kind of how you feel. And he said some of the fact that, like, he likes being here, he wants to be here, but we'll see how things go, you know, down the
road. It's going to depend on who the last few games of the season go for the Jets, because the Jets have the Browns, then they have to play the Patriots next Sunday for Week 17. I could see these two games being a loss for the Jets, but for the Rams side of things, they were looking to clinch a playoff berth, but it's not going to be easy when they go up to Seattle to play the Seahawks and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting game. I think Seattle has been a team, I think that they were riding, you know, with Wilson for the first half of the season. And I'm not saying that Wilson hasn't been the same type of guy, but he's been more consistent on a week-to-week basis here. And, you know, they did win against the Washington football team, in which a game that I picked the Washington football team to win. But, you know, I think that, you know, down the stretch here, I wouldn't bet against Russ. I just don't. I think that when it comes to closer to playoff time, you know, I think that he's one of those guys that's been in the league that knows what the big games are. Of course, you know, we went to that Super Bowl against the Pats, and, you know, of course, we know the end of it. But, you know, in all retrospect, against the Rams, it's going to be a tough game for that Seahawks offensive line. I think the Rams are really, really upset that they lost to win this Jets team. I think they're embarrassed. You know, they basically lost to a team that was trying to tank, basically trying to give up games to anybody that can play. It was almost like a Christmas gift, and they didn't want to take the gift. So, but no, it should be a really fun game. It's always a, you know, an NFC West battle, and I think it can go either way. And I know we can do game picks in a little bit here, and I'll kind of think about it when I'm on here with you. But it can really go either way, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the Jets game in just a minute when they take on Cleveland. We'll talk about who's going to win that game, but also the most shocking game in Week 15 right now. The first most shocking game was the Los Angeles Chargers coming into Las Vegas to beating the Raiders.
That game was definitely back and forth. It was a game where both defenses, both of those defenses haven't been consistent all year. They give up a lot of points. They don't do well with getting teams off of third downs. Lots of conversions, and this Raiders team, definitely missed Carr for a lot of that game. But Mariota did a heck of a, I guess you could see even say a showcase, because I don't know if many people ex what to expect out of Mariota. He hasn't had a full on start in a couple of years, I believe. So for him to come in and really keep the Raiders within reach and potentially win the game at the end, it definitely is definitely potentially a name that could intrigue some teams this offseason. As a guy like Mariota, a guy that has had starting experience in this league. He was a top, draft pick out of Oregon, so the guy has a lot of potential. But it sounds like that Derek Carr has been practicing this week, which is of course good news for the Raiders, who are kind of on that, the thin ice, but they're kind of still within reach of a postseason spot. But they got a big game, that they have to worry about on Saturday, well, against Tua and the Dolphins. That game should be really interesting on Saturday night. So no, but Herbert had a fine showing. Of course, that coach, as we've mentioned before, he has got to go. And so
You mean
we'll have to
Anthony
see.
Lynn
I think
has to
between,
go?
yeah, it's the race between Lynn and Gase in terms of the fact is who's going to be out of their job first. And if I had to have a crystal ball, I'd probably still go with Gase, but it could definitely go either way. And obviously, some coaches just don't do well and in this league, of course, that we've seen, but sometimes bad coaches might be better in other positions. For instance, for a guy potentially like Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is now like an offensive
He's the head
coordinator
coach at
somewhere, and
UCLA.
yeah, he's head coach now, but he's had many different roles with different franchises. So that's definitely going to be interesting to see what they do with the Chargers there. But good win for them and good win for Herbert. I'm really happy for him. Definitely has a bright future ahead.
Yes, he does have a bright future ahead. Now let's move on to some game picks. Let's start with Christmas Day. So tomorrow's Christmas Day game is the Minnesota Vikings taking on the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints are looking to get revenge on the Vikings after losing to them a year ago in the a year ago in the playoffs on a Kyle Rudolph game-winning touchdown. And you also remember, guys, the Minneapolis Miracle when Case Keenum threw that long touchdown pass to Stephon Diggs. You could all remember that. But the Saints are looking to clinch their division on tomorrow when the Saints take on the Vikings on Christmas Day. So with that being said, I pick the Saints to beat Minnesota tomorrow.
I do too. I was kind of worried about Breeze in terms of him coming back against the Chiefs, but it definitely showed off early on in the first half of that game against Kansas City. He really struggled, and definitely you could see a lot of his throws weren't just getting to the guys enough. But they're losing Michael Thomas for the rest of the year, especially in crunch time when they're trying to clinch a top seed, I think is going to really hurt, especially because him and Drew have great connections together. So, but the Vikings, I don't know. I think that they're just one of that team, that is very a very inconsistent team, could get on a roll at a time, but when they go wrong, it goes wrong. But them going into the Superdome last year, I don't think a lot of people expected them to win, and it came down to a final play where Kirk made a really good money throw in the back of the left end zone to Rudolph. So never say never for the Vikings to go in and win, but I think that in order for the Saints to stay within reach of kind of where the Packers are in that playoff race. I think that they really need this win. I think
yes, absolutely. Now let's go to our Saturday special picks. First, let's start with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions. So obviously, you know, the situation with COVID, Darrell Bevell and some of the other coaches that tested positive for COVID-19 will not be coaching in Saturday's game. So basically the Lions wide receivers coach is going to be the interim coach. So they won't have their four assistants in their game on Saturday. But for the Buccaneers, they're looking to clinch a playoff spot for the first time since the 2007 season. And Tom Brady is close to leading the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back to the playoffs, and they look to go 10-5. So I really think Bruce Arians and Tom Brady have been on the same page as of now, and a lot of people have been speculating that the Buccaneers could move on from Bruce Arians, and I'm like, I don't see it. I think give it a chance with Brady and Arians, and I think those two will get along just fine. And with that being said, I picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to beat the Lions.
Well, I think the thing about Tampa is we have to see them perform at a high level against the better opponents this year. Teams like the Saints and they had a good win against Green Bay, who actually they blew Green Bay out, which of course Green Bay is the number one seed as of now. So that's one of the teams. But, you know, they had a hard fought game against Kansas City. I'll give them that, but this Buccaneers team is just hard to figure out because some weeks they look really, really good. And then some other weeks they're just kind of, and then there's other weeks that, you know, they're like, wow, like what happened? But I think ever since the last couple weeks, you know, Bruce Arians basically, I believe, handed the keys to Brady and basically have him run this offense. I think it's been a lot better in terms of the fact of, you know, he still had to throw some deep balls, you know, because I think that's kind of what Arians still wants to do. But I think he is definitely using his advantages more like he used in New England of kind of just chunking plays by plays, you know, and definitely getting the running game going. Because if you can get a good running game going, that opens up play action. You could definitely build off of a lot of good stuff off that. You know, that first half against Atlanta, I don't think was, what Brady and the Buccaneers wanted. But they came out of the second half, and Brady did his, magic against the Falcons again. But it just, you know, it's great to see Antonio Brown get into the end zone. That was one of Brady's really nice throws of the day from the 50-yard line. You know, he just had a great game, and I think, you know, from that second half, he had a really good showing, and I think he'll build off. Like you said, the Lions are having some coaches affected from COVID. This Lions defense, I think, is going to be, I don't say easy to score points off of, but they will. The Buccaneers should be able to move the football. They should be able to, consistently move it, but they should have some really solid drives where they can score some points. And I think that the Lions, Stafford's questionable. So even if he does play, he might be a little banged up. And the center who had a very freak thing about, and I hope he's still okay, Ragnow, I believe his name, Frank Ragnow. He had a fractured throat, I think it was. And, I didn't even know that was actually possible a couple weeks ago when I saw the report, but apparently I guess it is. I did some research on it, but those two guys are questionable. So if your center and your quarterback are kind of, you know, not 100%, and, you know, they just have a lot of holes here and there, I just don't see the Bucs losing this game. I think that they move on and they clinch a playoff spot.
Absolutely. Now, the next game we're going to talk about next is the Arizona Cardinals hosting the San Francisco 49ers. And obviously the 49ers are going to be finishing up the regular season at the Cardinals Stadium. But this time the Niners will be the visiting team and the Cardinals will be the home team. So this is going to be an Arizona Cardinals home game, just so you all know. But with that being said, I am going to pick the Arizona Cardinals to beat the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are 5-9. I feel like that this team has just been hurt all year long. But I really think that they can find a way. I think the Cardinals will find a way to get a win and that they are going to get into playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, like you hit the nail on the head there with about the Niners. If that team could actually have all their guys stay healthy at least a week or two, it just makes a huge difference in terms of what they want to do. But they've had very tough luck. You know, they've had to move out of their own stadium in Santa Clara. That's one thing. They've, you know, between Garoppolo and Kittle, two of kind of their main guys. Of course, Kittle is one of the best tight ends in football, so you lose a lot of what he can do. He opens up so much when he's out in the field, Kittle does. His blocking is very elite. He has great hands. Great guy, just, you know, to get the guys going in the clubhouse, in the locker room, just has that very high impact. And, you know, he still might be around the guys, but I don't think it's the same when he could be actually out there on the field with them. I think Mullins is a quarterback that he's kind of more of just a serviceable type player.
You're talking about Nick Mullins.
Yeah, but he's just a guy that I just don't see as a quarterback that will consistently keep your team consistently on a kind of a run. I just think that, you know, it just seems like, you know, he'll win a game here or there potentially, and then he'll have a setback here. I just think that the Steiners team is way too banged up. I think the Arizona Cardinals, on the other hand, Kyler and a couple other guys, I think, might be getting their offensive stride back. And I think Fitzgerald's a huge piece for them down the stretch. And, you know, I think the Cardinals will win.
Cardinals win the game, but my question for you is, do you still think that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the 49ers quarterback of the future in 2021 and beyond?
Well, we'll have to see. You know, they actually, I don't know if you saw, but they did get Josh Rosen, which I thought was a very interesting thing. You know, because I think they have CJ.
Yeah, CJ Beathard's going to start on Saturday, and Beathard is not really that good as a quarterback.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, I do remember. Again, Beathard was playing.
You know, yeah, and he almost came from behind.
But, you know, he's just him between him and Mullins. They just, you know, Jimmy G is just a quarterback, I think, that just is much better than those two. And, you know, I worry still about Jimmy G in terms of this offseason, but teams looking at him.
I
think that there could be
with Jimmy G's injury history, I could see him being a backup quarterback somewhere. You know, he could be a backup quarterback again just because of his injury history and just to play it safe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, see, this could be like a similar, like a Cam Newton situation. I think that, you know, both of them are motivated to still play the game that they love. I think especially more Jimmy because, you know, people could be speculating right now that Cam might be broken down as a player, which he still might. But I think that Jimmy, I think he'll go back to the Niners if I had to pick. If he doesn't go back to the Niners, I wouldn't rule out a Patriots reunion at all just because of how him and
the thing with what I was wanting for the Patriots in the offseason is I really want them to get a new quarterback, a young quarterback in this upcoming draft class so that they can start day one and that they can and that you go from there. That's why I'm really excited and high on Mac Jones, the quarterback from Alabama.
Yeah, I you know, the thing about Mac Jones is, though, he's been playing with some of the most elite talent around him. And right, as you can see right now, the Patriots, potentially, if they get some guys in the offseason that could be some, you know, decent weapons, I think it could help them out. But I wouldn't if I'm going to draft a quarterback, I want him to be behind somebody that knows the Patriots system and kind of learn the ropes a little bit before kind of putting
it. No, because right what spot. I'm saying is that I want a rookie quarterback that's going to start right away for the Patriots when it comes to this upcoming class.
Yeah, I mean, I could, you know, I could definitely agree with you on that per se, but I also think that Bill just there's something about him and Cam, I think, with that connection, that I just wouldn't roll out just one more year with him. There wouldn't be. I don't think Bill would just be standing here and saying, like, you know, as of now, you know, I want to move on from Stidham now and just give him the reps the last two games.
Or if Jared Stidham should start the last game of the season. He's been...
Yeah, but what's the, you know, just play him in both, though. That's the, like, because they're not, and we've not talked about this yet, but the Patriots are now officially eliminated. They are officially out of the playoff race. So, you know, everybody's question is, what's the point of playing Cam the next couple of games? And I think there's a couple of things. I think that it just comes to show that they're not that high, particularly on.
They're not.
They're just not.
I'm sorry to say that, this is another subject, but my early wish list for the Patriots is to bring back Jacoby Brissett as a backup quarterback, and then you draft Mac Jones, and then Mac Jones, I think, beats out Jacoby Brissett for the starting job, and then he's the week one starter. That's what I envision.
Yeah. What do you think about Kyle Trask?
Yeah, he's not a bad option too for Patriots day one starter, but I prefer Mac Jones because Belichick and Nick Saban both run similar offenses, and the Belichick and Saban connection could really help bringing Mac Jones to New England.
Well, one thing that would be an advantage is, Mac Jones and Damon Harris. Damon Harris looks like he's going to get the starting running back, nod for next year. And him and Mac Jones, of course, play together in Bama. So that would definitely be something to take a look at. And, heck, if the Patriots on my Christmas wish list from this draft class, you try to get Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle. And maybe add like a second tier receiver, like a Corey Davis or Will Fuller type, they will be able to, especially they got to get their line, you know, some of their line guys back. You know, I think Tooney's going to move on because he's on the franchise tag this year. He's one of the top five, top 10 guards in this league that you're probably going to move on from him because the Patriots are going to try to shed some money.
Yeah, they're going to need to shed on a lot of money this offseason. That's another subject to talk about. But I'm telling you, I'm more about getting a backup quarterback that still knows the Patriots system. But I still want to keep Hoyer around for next year and also bring back Brissett. And then you bring in Mac Jones to be the starter, and then Brissett is the backup, and then Brian Hoyer is just insurance, just in case. That's what I envision, I want Mac Jones to be a Patriot, and exactly. I want him to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots whenever, assuming the Patriots draft Mac Jones in the first round of the draft.
No, dude,
I could see more than three quarterbacks starting in week one next season because of this class coming up.
Yeah, I think also too the salary cap is going to be lowered a little bit due to COVID. There's going to be a lot of options.
We're going to have to wait and see how the offseason goes. But let's move on and talk about some of it. Let's talk about who's going to win between the Dolphins over the Raiders. So the Dolphins, you already know who their quarterback in the future is. That's Tua Tagovailoa. But Marcus Mariota is going up against Tua Tagovailoa. This is going to be a lot of fun seeing both quarterbacks that come from Hawaii that played in big name schools in Oregon and in Alabama.
Yeah, I still want to rule out if Derek Carr. I haven't seen the injury report today, but I know he fully practiced yesterday. I want to rule out Carr even getting the chance to play Saturday night. But with that being said, though. Yeah, I think it would be really cool to see two Hawaiian Oregon. Well, they didn't go to the same college, but they for sure have a good idea, you know, both of them in terms of how they play. And they're both extremely talented. And I think this could be a really fun, exciting matchup. I think that the Raiders, are, of course, really upset with the way that game against the Chargers finished out. I think, you know, that they had that chance in overtime when they kicked the field goal and then the Chargers went back the following drive to score the touchdown to win. I still remember that play calling with Gruden that game at the end was just very, very conservative, and it definitely was a head-scratcher on some things. But, you know, Darren Waller's been really, really good this year. I think that, you know, and of course he made the Pro Bowl, and I know we probably won't talk a lot about the Pro Bowl, but I could, you know, maybe talk another time about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, when we talk about the Pro Bowl, week after the AFC, the conference championship games.
Yeah, we could talk about it then. But Waller's been a great piece for that Raiders team all year. Just a dominating big tight end that moves extremely fast and can make plays. And I think him and Mariota had a great connection last week. But, you know, Carr is a good connection with Waller, too. And he's just kind of that main guy. And also Josh Jacobs. The Raiders run through Josh Jacobs in the ground game. So if the Raiders are able to move the ball, which Dolphins have a very good defense, especially that secondary. They like to force turnovers. They play a very physical style. And I'm going to go with the Dolphins on this game. I think that the Dolphins – I just think that the Raiders – down the stretch here have not been consistent, and they just can't get offenses, opposing offenses off the third downs. And I think that if you give up teams third downs to extend drives, it's going to come to bite you at the end. You're going to have to find ways to get teams in punting situations to avoid more points, point opportunities. And I think that the Dolphins, if they can get some guys back like Devontae Parker, I know that I think that Gaskin, the running back, has been very good this year back for Saturday. So they should have options, and I think Flores is running a great tight ship there. So
going with the Dolphins too. I mean, Brian Flores has done a great job. I think the Dolphins I think the Dolphins are two more years away from being a team that could be the the co-division leader with the Buffalo Bills, that's how I want to put it, because I think the Dolphins within the next 2 years, they can really challenge the Buffalo Bills for the AFC East crown. I think I give them another year to kind of get this rebuild complete. I think it should be complete by the 2021 season, and I think the Dolphins by next season will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I still wouldn't roll out the Pats, you know, to be kind of right there in the mix, you know, if not next year, the year after, because, you know, they're going to have some money to spend. I think that, you know, being very familiar with the division, as long as Belichick's there, I wouldn't deny him the fact of improving the roster and definitely getting younger.
Yeah, I got to start getting younger too. That's for sure for the Patriots. That's another subject we'll talk about when the offseason begins.
But this Dolphins, no, I definitely agree with you for the Dolphins. They got a great program, a very young program, but a lot of the guys buy in, and I think that Tua has been a great quarterback. I think Fitzpatrick's been a great mentor for Tua when Tua got drafted. To the Dolphins, and you know, between Flores and McDermott and Tua and Josh Allen, you know, the key four there, I think is going to be good.
Are you talking about both Buffalo and Miami?
Yeah, I think that both, you know, those two teams play to the final week of the season.
Yeah, and Tua versus Josh Allen on week 17.
Yeah, both and that game definitely has some
a lot of writing into that game next Sunday. We'll talk about that next Sunday for sure. But again, I have Brian Flores and the Dolphins beating the Raiders. The next game we're going to talk about next is the Tennessee Titans playing the Green Bay Packers in cold Lambeau Field. But I know I love Aaron Rodgers. I love any player that wears number 12 in the National Football League. And, you know, Tom Brady wears number 12. I love Aaron Rodgers as well. But with that being said, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to pick my boy, Mike Vrabel, and the Tennessee Titans defeat the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau Field. And Derrick Henry's going to have a field day today. He's going to get over – he's closing in over 2,000 rushing yards. I think he's going to get over 2,000 rushing yards against that Green Bay Packers defense that just can't stop the run.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think this Titans offense really bodes well against a Green Bay defense that has a hard time struggling against the run. You have one of the best running backs in football. And, you know, he's just been absolutely killing it, is Derrick Henry. This was kind of similar to last year with this Titans team. They're definitely clicking on all cylinders, especially in the offense, and Henry has definitely been their anchor, I guess you could say, just kind of leading the way. Tannehill, of course, has had some very good, consistent games in the last couple of weeks, but he definitely relies a lot on his running back.
Tannehill relies more on Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and Davis, too. You know, they use a lot of Davis. You know, I know Jonnu Smith here.
Jonnu Smith, I could see staying in Tennessee. He's a free agent after the season. I could see the Titans keeping Jonnu.
Yeah, potentially. You know, the Titans have, between Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, they have two of their
Maybe they move on from Corey Davis. They got to keep Jonnu Smith. They're gonna build this receiving core around A.J. Brown.
Oh, for sure, yeah. The dude is an absolute monster. But I'm going with the Packers in this game. I think going into a Lambeau Field on a Sunday night in December, I think the Packers just bode well for
environment,
that.
Environment, you mean, right?
Weather.
But you knew why I picked Tennessee. It's because of the former Patriots that are on that team. And also, you knew that.
I
watched Mike Vrabel briefly when he played for the Patriots. But I'm just a big fan of his I'm also a big Vrabel fan as a head coach now.
Yeah, no, I definitely like Vrabel. I loved him as a player for the Patriots, and I think he's a very good coach. You know, first couple of years he's been coaching. You know, he just got this team last year to the.
Could
AFC
they do
title?
It again for a second year in a row? Could they play Kansas City in the AFC Championship game again?
I just am not too highly keen on in terms of where Pittsburgh's direction going, and I was supposed to be kind of the team to beat for the first 11 weeks of the season. But you know, Kansas City, of course, was going to be, you know, right up there, you know, as you know, as long as they're going to be up there for many years, but especially this year, you know, between them and Tennessee, I would also wouldn't count out Buffalo if they get a chance to play Kansas City. I think that would be a really fun, interesting matchup.
We're going to talk about the Patriots-Bills game in just a minute, and we'll talk about if the Patriots can spoil the Bills' chances at a number two spot, which I kind of have them doing in just a minute. But Tennessee, I think, to me, they're probably the second-best team in the AFC now in my eyes because of Vrabel, because of Tannehill getting a second chance, really revitalizing his career in Tennessee, and also Derrick Henry being one of the reasons why King Henry is doing his thing.
Yeah, no, I think this will be a really fun Sunday Night Football game.
I'm going to watch. Although the Lakers play that day, I'm still going to watch the Tennessee Titans play. I don't want to miss Tennessee Titans games because of Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue like you don't want to miss games with like the Giants.
Yes, missing Giants games because of Joe Judge, who used to be a former Patriot assistant. I support former Patriot assistant coaches and players that are head coaches now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another name out there that's going to be a head coaching candidate out of the Belichick coaching tree that I would like to see be a head coach. Former Patriots tight end coach. He was an offensive coordinator at Alabama, who is now currently the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, who I'd love to see as the head coach, and that's Brian Zabel.
Yeah, he's done really well.
I
want to
see him be a head coach. I think he would be a great head coach wherever they land him.
Yeah, he's a really good offensive coordinator. You know, he if we could talk about the Pats-Bills game, but he he definitely is a very good guy to design plays to confuse opposing offenses out there in the field. He'll take his shots downfield, especially for a guy like Allen. He'll make his deep shots to guys that can that are explosive and can make some plays. But he will also definitely do a good job mixing in the running game when needed. And, of course, he'll do some reverse and some little trickery at times. So I definitely think that would be an interesting name. But Jed Fish, I don't know if you saw, but he's not going to be the
Arizona. Go all cuts for Jed Fish. I'll be supporting him down there, too. I thought he did a pretty decent job as our quarterback's coach. Jed Fish.
Yeah, wish Jed the best of luck. I know.
I don't know how I say it. Is it Finch or Fish? Jeff, Jed Fish, but it's F-I-S-C-H.
Yep.
So Jed Fish, is going to be a. I think he's going to do a great job down there. I mean, I thought he did a great job being the cornerbacks coach for the Patriots, but although Cam Newton didn't even perform under him, I think he's going to do a good job developing a quarterback in Arizona.
Yeah, that Arizona football team had a very tough
year. I think he could really be an upgrade over Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah, I think he should. So we should.
Let's start with the Bills and let's start with Brian Daboll. And this is his return to Foxborough, and he knows Bill Belichick's defensive scheme very well. He spent pretty much almost a couple of years with us as our tight ends coach, then moved on to Alabama, now back in the NFL. And I told you, I predict that he will be a head coach somewhere in 2021, and I predict he stays in the AFC East. And assuming Adam Gase gets fired, I want him to coach the Jets. What do you think of that move for Brian Daboll to coach the Jets? Because I really think he could really help help save Sam Darnold's career.
Yeah, I also I'm really highly on Eric Bieniemy, who is the off. It's going to be
I favor Eric Bieniemy in Houston.
Yeah,
because I think he and Deshaun Watson would work well together.
Yeah, I feel extremely bad for Deshaun right now. Just, you know, him just signed that huge max deal in Houston, and you know, he just needs more help.
But I think when Bieniemy comes in, I think he's gonna get that fixed.
Yeah, hopefully. I think, you know, the play calling, of course, helps success and, you know, in the National Football League. So as much as Deshaun has been a great guy, great quarterback and a great person and a very great athlete, and he'll be that, you know, for a long period of time. He's right up there with Lamar and Mahomes. You know, I think that if he goes to somewhere for a team, you know, that – and I don't think it's going to happen, but if he went to a team, for instance, like Pittsburgh, right, where I think Big Ben, you know, who might come back next year, but you're definitely seeing, like, Big Ben is.
He is. You're absolutely right. Are you talking about Brian Daboll potentially being the head coach of the Jets?
No, I'm talking about Deshaun, you know, getting some help and maybe – you know, this is a very unlikely scenario because he just signed a big deal in Houston. But, you know, for Watson to go to a place that's a contending now type place where, you know, some of the older quarterbacks that are like for a team like Pittsburgh, right, where Big Ben is definitely, if not this year, kind of going into next year and, you know, kind of get into his last leg of him playing. You know, Watson would, of course, I think would be a great piece there. And, you know, him and Mahomes could be, you know, kind of right there in the race for a long period of time. I do think, though, that Houston is trying to get younger.
Yes, Houston is trying to get younger, but I do think, however, Houston will keep Will Fuller. I think they will keep Will Fuller. Deshaun loves Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. I think I would throw in one more big receiver that can catch these deep passes and that can go all the way. So, oh, yeah. With that being said, no, let's talk about Patriots-Bills. So, my pick for this game, I picked the Patriots to beat the Bills in overtime so that the Patriots can spoil the Bills' chances at a number two seed.
Yeah, I picked the Dolphins last week against the Pats, and I don't want to pick the Bills this week.
Yeah, because the Bills last week had a big win against the Denver Broncos. They beat the Bills they won the division for the first time since 1995, and you and I were still babies at that time.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable how spoiled we've been as fans. But I give a lot of credit to the Bills Mafia. They've been a franchise where
they've suffered all. You know,
They've suffered. You know, not just in the division, but they suffered. You know, they went to four straight Super Bowls and they lost all of them. They have never won a Super Bowl, and I think for a city like Buffalo, who have just very big, passionate fans, I think the crowd and the whole entire franchise, you know, would be, you know, you know how this past weekend they were those fans. It was almost like they won a Super Bowl because, like, the amount that Tom Brady just gave him heartbreak. It was great to watch. You know, I'm not gonna get any credit for that. You know, it was great to see all. Basically us at the top of the mountain for so long, but as they say, everything good comes to an end at some point. And Buffalo, I think, is going to
be a good football team. You mean
boot up there to pretend?
You're saying that the Bills are going to be a good football team for a long time.
Yeah, and they're still. You know, they have Diggs there. You know, Allen is going to be there, I think, for the probably.
Yeah, he's got to get a contract extension at some point. You know, I think he will, though.
I do, too. I think, you know.
Yes, McDermott got a well-deserved extension. On my birthday, he got a contract extension with the Bills through 2020.